It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Dozens of police departments across the country are inflating their numbers of successfully closed rape cases through a technical loophole. On paper, it looks like the cases are solved. In reality, they're not, and defendants walk free. Our guest investigates how widespread this problem is and what's causing it. Are you familiar with the problem of rape cases being exceptionally cleared? They're presented to the public as solved when a department is just closing the case. What do you think should be done about this problem? What reforms do you think we need to make when it comes to how police departments across the country handle sexual assault cases? Do you work in law enforcement? Do you see this happening in your community? Does your department close rape cases for a reason? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is our email address. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Mark Greenblatt is a senior national investigative correspondent for Scripps, D.C. He is one of the co-lead reporters of Case Cleared, How Rape Goes Unpunished in America, a joint investigation from Newsy, Reveal, and ProPublica. Mark, welcome to the Ideas Network.
So good to be with you.
So tell us about Brian Kind. I understand that last spring, a hotel manager in Janesville saw Kind behaving inappropriately with a young girl and called the police. But as it turned out, Kind had already had a brush with the police before. What happened?
Well, more than a brush. You know, the report came in that he was really having sexual contact in a very public and inappropriate way in a hotel in Janesville. And when, they eventually arrested him when the young girl, who was underage, did cry out to police that she had had sexual contact with Mr. Kind, who's a full-grown man, more than 200 times, it eventually came out. And through the course of the investigation, they were looking into his background. They found that he had clearly a long record of being arrested by police for various different kinds of non-sexual related crimes. But where we found him as an investigative team was we picked him up long before he ever landed in Wisconsin having sex with a young girl there. We picked him up, and I should note it is alleged right now because he is pending trial. We picked him up in Baltimore County, Maryland, where police there in Baltimore County and at another neighboring agency had been investigating him for the same sort of thing, for making contact allegedly with a 12-year-old girl there, and eventually driving from Michigan all the way to Maryland in order to allegedly have sex with her there. There were hotel receipts. There were interviews with the young girl. There were email exchanges showing what appeared to be a real sexual relationship. And yet police in Baltimore County, when they received the case and really on a silver platter from a neighboring police agency, they were having a hard time making personal contact with the victim, a young girl and her family. And so after a couple of phone calls, according to police record, they decided to clear the case. And what they did here was they cleared the case in a manner that allowed the Baltimore County Police Department to look better to the public. It actually raised their clearance rate for the crime of rape. And yet what they did was they left this guy on the streets. There was no arrest. They didn't even interview him. They didn't have the case reviewed by the prosecutor. They didn't call the FBI. And they simply left him on the streets, but they chalked it up as a win in their clearances. And they did this because of this use of this loophole of sorts called exceptional clearance. And what we had discovered as a team was that almost no one has ever heard of this. There's been very little reporting done on it, very little academic research ever done on this sort of thing. Because at the end of the day, the public is simply told, hey, our police are doing a great job of clearing crimes. We're clearing X number of percentage of our rape cases or murders, rapes, and robberies. And what they're not told is sort of what makes that clearance rate up.
Well, I'm getting a little lost in cleared and closed. Let's define some terms here. The Baltimore police cleared Brian Kind's case. Cleared case implies to, I think, most people that the case was solved and whoever the perpetrator was went to court, whether they were not guilty or guilty, but at least, you know, they arrested someone and someone went to trial. So that's what I would, you know, that the average person might assume that cleared means that the case was solved. What is a cleared case? What does that phrase mean?
Well, you're not the only one getting confused, and part of that is because the Baltimore County Police Chief himself, dating back to 2013 under a different chief than sits there today, talks to the public and using those same terms, saying that our clearance rates are a measure of, quote-unquote, how many cases we solve. And what we have figured out is that that's really misleading because you can clear a case if you do make an arrest, that's true. But what the FBI has set up is this rare loophole that is supposed to allow police who know where a suspect lives, have identified him, actually have probable cause to make an arrest, want to make the arrest, but can't because of a reason outside of their control. They've allowed this loophole for not to punish them in their clearance rates to claim a case was exceptionally cleared. You're supposed to be able to do it in cases like if the suspect, for instance, that you want to arrest has died and is no longer arrestable, or if they're, you know, in prison in a foreign jail and simply not reachable. They don't want to punish the police agency and make it look like they're not doing their job in these very, very rare circumstances. And so those are the two ways you're allowed to clear a case, by this rare exceptional means or by an actual arrest.
So cleared actually just means the police department is done with it.
Police department's not only done with it, but different than a closed case or something that's sort of that they just weren't able to make progress with. Cleared means they have probable cause to make an arrest. They believe they have probable cause to make an arrest, but they can't or they don't for reasons outside of their control.
That's exceptional clearance, but just cleared case in general. The police say we cleared a case. That just means they're done with it, right? They've done their part. They've arrested somebody or they've said we can't arrest anybody, but the case is cleared. We're finished with it.
That would be correct. They are done with it.
Okay. And all right. So I'm glad we got that cleared up. No pun intended. You mentioned exceptional clearance. That's that's kind of the thing that's become quite popular, according to your research. But that's supposed to be used in very rare circumstance. How do we know how often this is used in terms of percentage of cases that you investigated?
Yeah, it does. It really is community by community. We found that in some police agencies, they use this very rarely, as intended. But really, the striking thing in this research and what we did was we had to go out to more than 100 police agencies across the country and ask for their data directly through public records requests, because it's very hard to reach. The FBI and the DOJ don't even know for the majority of police agencies when a police agency reports a crime is cleared, they don't know if it's been cleared by arrest or by exceptional means. So we had to go directly to the source, and what we found is in many cases, almost half the cases that we looked at, almost half the agencies that we received data back from, they had taken this thing that was supposed to be the exception to the rule, and really it has become the rule for the crime of rape, where they're clearing more cases exceptionally, leaving people on the streets that they allegedly have probable cause to arrest. They're doing this more often than they are actually making arrests. So we're really getting, when we're being told the overall clearance rate, which is, of course, arrests plus this loophole of exceptional clearance, we're getting really a misleading picture of how many rape cases are being solved in many, many communities across America.
Mark Greenblatt is a senior national investigative correspondent for Scripps, D.C. He will stay with us as our conversation continues. What do you think should be done about how police handle sexual assault cases? Maybe you work in law enforcement. Do you see this happening in your community? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Dozens of police departments across the country are clearing rape cases. Well, it looks like they're closed, even though investigators aren't necessarily solving the crimes. Are you familiar with the problem of sexual assault cases being exceptionally cleared? What reforms do you think we need to make when it comes to how police departments across the country handle these cases? 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Mark Greenblatt is with us. He's Senior National Investigative Correspondent for Scripps, D.C. Mark, you wanted information from more than 100 police departments. 64 of them responded. 39 police jurisdictions declined your request for data. The Milwaukee Police Department was one of them. You still were able to find data on Milwaukee, though, and you report its rape clearance rate is 66%, 57% due to arrest, 9% exceptional clearance. How does Milwaukee compare to other cities you looked at?
Well, this is a very interesting part of the story. It's really impossible to tell the story accurately in Milwaukee, because what they refused to turn over was a set of statistics that shows how often they claim a case that's reported to them is quote-unquote unfounded. What that means is if they believe that they have enough evidence to prove that someone who reported a rape lied about it, reported a false report, or something that they were maybe confused about, something called a baseless crime. They can unfound a case, wipe it off their books altogether, and so we don't really ever hear about it. And Milwaukee is part of this next generation way of reporting crime statistics to the FBI, where they do disclose publicly how many cases they actually exceptionally clear. So there's some good news there with Milwaukee. But the bad news is this new system that is supposed to increase transparency for America, we've discovered, has completely ended the collection of statistics on unfounded cases. And this is something that police agencies in Chicago and Baltimore and New Orleans and St. Louis have all had real scandals over doing this too often, wiping reports of rape off their books entirely. In Milwaukee, they're refusing to give us their data. They have not turned it over. We don't know, and neither does the FBI and neither does the Department of Justice. We just don't know how many cases they are unfounding. And so we can tell you that they have a low exceptional clearance rate compared to others. That's the good news. But we don't know how many crimes are taking off the books.
Some of the departments that didn't report have high clearance rates, 98% in San Francisco, 93% in Pittsburgh. Given what you've told us so far this morning, how should we look at those numbers?
Well, I think probably with a healthy degree of skepticism. San Francisco had been hovering for many years a much, much, much lower clearance rate, and all of a sudden in a recent year they just spiked dramatically. I think more than their clearance rate rose, I think, by nearly twice as much, and they're one of the agencies that don't want to turn their data over to us, Pittsburgh as well. But I can tell you, for instance, a good teaching tool here, Austin, Texas is an area that we focused a lot of reporting on, and they reported to the public 51% clearance rate for the crime of rape. When we dug into their data, it was they were only arresting 17% of their cases. All of the rest were exceptional clearance. And it's worth noting that we also talked to a 26-year insider from the Austin Police Department who used to lead their sex crimes unit, and she told us she was ordered at one point to change the clearance codes in the city of Austin from suspended sort of dormant status to exceptionally cleared, she believed, for the purposes of trying to provide a false picture to the city and the public about how effective they were at actually solving rape cases. So this isn't just numbers and data. You know, we really have some indications that, at least in some departments, that these exceptional clearances are being used to provide a misleading picture to the public.
So what's the motivation for departments to improperly use exceptional clearance? What do they gain from doing this?
Well, you know, what we saw in Austin was we saw the police chief and leadership going before city council at budget hearings, really sort of saying, hey, we want some more money for different pet projects. And then they'd be grilled on, well, you know what, the city council would actually say, well, we really want you to solve more crimes. And they'd come back and they'd say, no, look, we're doing great, guys. We're above the national average for the crime, for clearance rates when it comes to rape and other violent crimes. So don't worry about that. let us have money for what we want. And so that's we've seen it there. But it's also just good politics, you know. I mean, if you have if you're trying to attract Amazon.com, you know, or Amazon rather, to come move to your city, you don't want to have a problem with solving rapes and other violent crimes. You want the books to look good. So there are some political motivations that are out there to try to bump up clearance rates.
But is it possible that the use of excessive use of exceptional clearance in rape cases can be at least partially explained by the reluctance of some victims to cooperate with police?
Yeah, it can be, and that is one of the allowed reasons why you're allowed to sort of, as a police agency, chalk this up as an exceptionally cleared case. But the trick here is that according to the FBI rules, there's no exception to this. No pun intended. That if a victim who initially reports to police that they were raped or that they had a sexual assault take place decides later that they just don't have it in them to move forward and take the stand and testify, still, in order to exceptionally clear the case, police still have to have enough evidence, even without the victim, to have probable cause to make an arrest. And so what this is intended to do is it's intended to encourage police to investigate more and investigate harder and see what else they could do. In the case of Brian Kind, who landed in Wisconsin after being cleared in Baltimore County, they never even interviewed the suspect. And so what experts have told us is that if they would have done that, this is a guy who eventually was found with, allegedly with child porn on his cell phone. They likely could have found it, experts say, on his phone back then, maybe found even more on his computers. And then with that evidence, even without a victim, they would have been able to move forward with a prosecution and not put the pressure of justice on the shoulders of a 13-year-old victim of sexual assault, which is what happened here. And the rub here is that why you should care about this, even if you don't live in Baltimore County, is that when people are exceptionally cleared that, where there's evidence that they are an alleged child predator or just a rapist of adults, when they're left on the streets in one city, even hundreds or thousands of miles away, they can move, as happened in this case when this guy moved to Wisconsin and allegedly struck again.
Mark Greenblatt is senior national investigative correspondent for Scripps DC. Mark, do law enforcement officials clear other crimes in the same way?
They do. They're allowed to do this. Of course, they have probable cause to make the arrest and can't do it for reasons outside of their control. But we really did see a trend with sexual assaults where it seemed to be used more often. And, it's possible that one of the reasons for this is that many sexual assaults are more challenging cases. If a prosecutor doesn't want to move forward on a case because it's, they on their end are potentially motivated by conviction rates. They look good when they have a high conviction rate, which can easily take place if you prosecute the easiest cases. You really have a system that may be strained on DAs. They're motivated to have higher conviction rates, and on the police side, they want higher clearance rates. So everybody wants to look good to the public, but the trick is you want the cases to actually lead to that you're going to claim are solved, to actually lead to arrests as often as possible.
Have we? Are there any policy changes proposed to deal with the abuse of exceptional clearance by local law enforcement?
Well, the number one thing that people can do is if your police agency locally has not joined the next generation way of reporting crime statistics to the FBI that forces them to publicly disclose how many exceptionally cleared cases they have, people can go to city council and demand that this happens. If, however, you live somewhere that's already done that, then you can, at this stage, go to your U.S. congressman and say, I also want to know how many rapes my police agency are unfounding every year. And I understand that the new FBI system does not track that anymore. We interviewed a top official with the Department of Justice, Bureau of Justice Statistics, who said this is a travesty and it needs to change. And this was a woman who oversees the incident, the new incident-based reporting system on the for the DOJ side, and she didn't know about this, that they had stopped collecting this information, and she's sort of taken it upon herself to try as best as she can to get somebody to listen over at the FBI or in Congress to change this, because she thinks this is really something that's threatening the viability and credibility of crime statistics in general across the board for the entire country.
So even if a local police department reports the number of exceptional clearances to the FBI, what does that actually mean? I mean, the FBI isn't doing anything about it, are they?
The FBI trusts agencies to largely report accurately, and they won't come in with a bunch of federal agents in black suits and ties to, you know, stop the agency. But the thing that really struck me is that there are some agencies that are reporting and publicly disclosing, even in this new way of reporting crime statistics, how often they exceptionally clear cases. But nobody's really asking questions about it. So, you know, what can people do? If their agency does have a high rate, they can call in to their local city council. They can go to a public meeting and demand answers and start raising questions for the first time. This is something that nobody's really raised questions about. And people do need to take action and let their elected leaders know that they care about transparency. Because at the end of the day, this matters for how safe the cities that they live in really are.
Mark Greenblatt, thanks for joining us this morning.
You bet.
Mark Greenblatt is a senior national investigative correspondent for Scripps DC. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network.